You are listening to The Link, an interactive podcast hosted by public policy experts at the U.S. Oncology Network. Your link to the policy that matters most.
Good morning and welcome to The Link. We are here in sunny Los Angeles, California, at the annual conference for the U.S. Oncology Network. My name is JC Cardenas and I am on the Federal Government Relations team. Happy to be joining you again. And to my left, I am joined by...
Hello, listeners. My name is Angela Storseth, and I am the director of our state government relations team for the U.S. Oncology Network, and I'm happy to be here today. And on my team, we have...
Ryan Soltz, senior manager of government relations for the U.S. Oncology Network, covering the state legislators in the western part of the country.
And Dr. Deborah Pat, I serve as an executive vice president of Texas Oncology and a director of policy for the U.S. Oncology Network. I work for Angela.
I feel like we all do. Angela is a jack of all trades and one of our shining stars on our team. And I've learned so much in my short time on the government relations team. And very happy to be here today with everybody at the annual conference. This is my first annual conference. It's been a really fun time meeting everybody and getting to see everybody back in person here in Los Angeles and getting to see a lot of different physicians that I've only emailed with and haven't really had a chance to see. So Dr. Pat, why don't you tell us a little bit more about what we can expect here at the conference this year as we kick off this morning?
The annual conference is a great place where leaders in the U.S. Oncology Network can aggregate and share information. What you'll see is we have administrative leaders and clinical leaders that will be present to really share learnings and learn from each other about best practices. You know, within the U.S. Oncology Network, while we're all individual practices, we really share a lot of information so we can understand better how to get patients what they need. So you'll hear information about new drugs that are approved. You'll hear information about how to make sure our patients get the appropriate testing that they need, how to make sure that we are optimally using biosimilars, various different initiatives. We're working on some projects together, like trying to decrease the time for new patient referrals to new patient appointments and other things. So really, it's where we aggregate and share knowledge to make sure that we are aware of each other's best practices so we can all be the best practice we can be. And you'll hear about public policy because we have a lot going on from the public policy team.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many things happening, not just at the federal level, but especially at the state level. Angela, you want to tell us a little bit more about what's going on down there in this, all the states?
Yeah, well, we are busy. I don't think the state team has had a full week at their homes because we've been traveling all week because we have over 40 some states in session. But before we jump into public policy, I will say that the energy in the room here, we weren't able to be in person last year. And just to have everyone here in person has been so incredible. The networking, the energy is just really high. And so that's what is getting me excited about our panel tomorrow, because public policy is always what people want to talk about. They don't realize that's what they want to talk about. But we're going to have a full room in there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people talking about it and a lot of people very interested in showing up tomorrow. And I think that's part of the reason why public policy is always one of the last sessions to make sure everybody stays around and is excited.
Well, and I was going to say, Dr. Pat, for our focus of our session tomorrow, with a room full of physicians across the U.S., our focus is getting them involved. Can you talk a little bit about your experience? Because the reason why we are so effective on the state level is because we have physicians like you testifying.
Yeah, I think that it's an amazing time in cancer care. We're so fortunate to be able to bring great new and novel therapies to patients, but it does require a lot of coordination and optimal policy development. Because if I think about what's the greatest risk to the patients that we serve, it's having policies that somehow are barriers to cancer care that either delay or deter appropriate therapy. Or appropriate testing. And so I feel like the message that we want to give to our providers and our administrators are many. You know, one, that we serve as educators. Really, our elected officials come from a wide array of backgrounds, public servants by a history of being business people or attorneys or teachers. And so they don't really have a background in cancer care. So we need to be the experts in cancer care and teach them. Tell them about why it's important to not have barriers to patients getting pills, because a lot of cancer therapy is pills. A lot of cancer therapy is biologic agents that have to be grown. And so the handling of those agents and that supply chain matters, appropriate dosage matters. So we have to be educators. And when we educate, it's important always to bring in good patient stories. Every one of our elected officials has constituents that are impacted by cancer. Mm-hmm. And by telling the patient story, you can really help them identify with the need to have good policy. So first and foremost, we have to be educators. Second of all, we've got to engage, and people are going to hear that from us. Have an elected official out at your cancer center. Have a dinner where you have doctors and administrators and nurses and financial counselors talk about various aspects of how we deliver cancer care and what problems their patients and their constituency is facing. I think that's really critical. We need to engage. And when we engage as clinicians, it's important to be purple for cancer care. Know that partisan politics don't dictate the need for someone's advocacy for cancer care, because we can all align that we want cancer care to be great for patients. I think it's really important. Angela and I have walked into offices where we've had elected officials ask us if chemotherapy was lasers. Mm-hmm. People frequently don't know really what we do, and they have to understand it better. Because we're either, at the table or we're on the menu. And yep. If we're on the menu, patients have bad outcomes.
And Dr. Pat, last week, or I believe it was last week, you testified before the Texas Senate Health and Human Services Committee on our prohibiting white bagging mandate bill. This bill has passed the House in Texas. It passed 139-1. We're very excited to watch this bill move. But during your testimony, it was so impactful because you spoke about a patient and you actually used, an object to show them the chance of waste with these white bag drugs and what that could cost. Can you talk a little bit about your testimony you provided?
Sure. So just to set the stage, we are observing white bagging mandates throughout the country. So this is something that is a new tactic that insurance companies are using to change, their financial portfolio. And as we look at that, we're concerned about white bagging mandates because we frequently make dose adjustments in our clinics. Every day I'm in clinic, I make a dose adjustment on chemotherapy mm-hmm. because a patient's labs mean that they need a dose adjustment. Their physical exam means they need a dose adjustment. So what I talked about in my testimony was my patient Carla, who has an advanced but not metastatic breast cancer, but it's not yet surgically resectable. So her entire breast is encompassed by the cancer. And she's on a therapy that includes immunotherapy and chemotherapy, which is the standard of care for the aggressive kind of breast cancer she has. Well, when I saw Carla in clinic, I recognized that her cancer was growing. And I didn't tell it from a lab, and I didn't tell it from an imaging study. I saw it because I saw the patient and I measured her mass, mm-hmm. the cancer on her breast. I could see that it had grown. So I knew at that moment that the chemotherapy and immunotherapy I was planning to give her just 10 minutes away, 10 minutes from then, 10 feet down the way mm-hmm. from in my cancer center, that it was not going to be the appropriate therapy for her. Now, if I had had to white bag that therapy, that would have been wasted. So that would have been carboplatin, paclitaxel, pembrolizumab. The pembrolizumab, which is the trade name of Keytruda, is an immunotherapy. So it's a therapy that's grown, not manufactured sort of in the traditional chemical sense. And it's very expensive. And so it would have been probably $10,000 worth of waste if someone had shipped in that drug. Mm-hmm. Because once you have that drug for that patient, you can't send it back. Mm-hmm. It would not be legal to do that. And she could no longer get it because now I have to give her something else.
And then that leads to a delay.
That would lead to a delay, exactly. Mm-hmm. So by not white bagging in that scenario, we didn't waste $10,000. The patient was able to get timely access to care. And it's critical for patients like Carla because she potentially has curable breast cancer. Even though if she was taken to surgery right now, it would not cure her breast cancer. She potentially has curable breast cancer. And so getting everything right and timely matters for patients like Carla. And that's why prohibitions on white bagging mandates are so important, because it can optimize a patient's outcome.
And we're very excited to see the Texas bill really move, because states really have trends when it comes to policy. You'll see a couple states start to pass legislation, and then the next year you'll see a few more states come in, and then before, it's really a push across the country. Louisiana was one of the first states to pass legislation around prohibiting white bagging mandates a few years ago. This year, North Dakota actually just passed a great bill, and the governor has signed it into law. We're hoping Texas can join among some other states as well. But in Ohio, our white bagging bill was just introduced Monday morning, and that's HB 156. So we're very excited to continue to see states really act on this. I think that PBM transparency has been something we've seen over the past few years, and legislators are really understanding what we don't know yet on some of their practices. So anything around prohibiting white bagging mandates, anti-steering legislation, but focusing on licensing and auditing for PBMs. And so we're excited. We think that there's definitely some energy. And of course, what always happens when more states start to pass bills like this?
You get that momentum going.
Congress has to eventually act.
It'll move up.
Well, and I'll say too, we're seeing it bipartisan across the country. You know, from Texas, who is a Republican-controlled legislature, to Colorado, who's the opposite and Democratic. They're all passing similar bills and all around PBM transparency. And Dr. Pat, I just would like to ask you, you know, a lot of the U.S. oncology wins in Texas and across the country are, you know, attributed to your advocacy and your participation in testifying and meeting with legislators. For a physician that's newer to legislative advocacy, what would be your advice on how to kind of get your feet wet, and if you're just starting out, how to make time? And
it's a great question. I think that it's all about developing relationships, honestly. And so I think about the first step is inviting your elected official out to your cancer center, or having a dinner with many members of your cancer center. So in my perfect world, that looks like doctors and nurses and financial counselors and social workers and practice administrators and liaisons all together, because that really colors someone's picture of cancer care in the community and establishes you as an expert. And if you say, well, how do I do that? That seems like a hard ask. I will say, we're here to help. You know, Ben Jones's team, Angela Storth's team, we're here to help you conduct a site visit. We can reach out and help you arrange that. Really just showing the initiative and reaching out to get that started, I think makes the world of difference. I will say, as Angela spoke about our advocacy in the prohibition on white bagging mandate legislation this session, I think that the reason why we were successful in talking to people about it was because we had already established relationships with so many key members, especially in committees of jurisdiction, that they knew about what we were talking about before we even brought it up to them. And so having that established relationship matters. So the first thing to do, I think, is to host someone. If you don't have a relationship today, develop a relationship and either invite them to your cancer center or host a dinner. And it doesn't have to end there. You know, maybe it's being engaged with them on some initiative that they're doing in the committee pertaining to in the community pertaining to healthcare. Maybe it's serving on your Chamber of Commerce where you might interact with them. You know, many different ways that one can engage, but I think it starts with having them out and telling them what you do.
Yeah. And I think as we wrap up here, one of the big things too is just, you know, use our team as a resource. We are all here. Both we have the state team, the federal team. And then there's great advocates like Dr. Pat, who's a rock star and always involved. So if you're interested, you know, don't hesitate to reach out. We're doing our work to make sure we get a lot of site visits with members of Congress at the federal level. I know at the state level as well, there's a lot of different opportunities to engage there. So Dr. Pat, thank you so much again for joining us today. And thank you again
for being a good team.
Yeah, thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. We couldn't do without you.
Yep. I don't know. It's really good. So thank you all again for joining us in this session. We'll be back to you later on today with some more information on how the conference has been going. So please stay tuned and have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Link Podcast, your link to the legislature. For more information on healthcare policy and the U.S. Oncology Network, visit www.legislink.com.